Our reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 21. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. May this be instruction for the people, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness so that your servant may know it." The word of God for the people of God.
So we're going to fast forward quite a bit in David's story with our scripture today. King David is now the king of Israel. And he looks around one day and he thinks that things don't seem quite right. He was living in a palace and God was living in a tent. So he had a great idea. He thought, "I will build a beautiful temple for God." You see, the chosen people of God had been nomads. They had been wandering around for a while. They didn't have a permanent home, but now they did. And so he thought, this is the time. We have a city, we have a country, and God should have a permanent place to live. It would be a much more fitting place for the Ark of the Covenant to reside than in a tent. It would be a place where proper worship could take place. It would be a holy place, a beautiful place. And it sounded like such a great idea that when he told the prophet Nathan about it, Nathan just immediately said, "That is an awesome idea. Go right ahead." But the thing was, God hadn't had a word on it yet. So he did. Nathan had a dream in which God told Nathan that he wanted him to tell David, in short, "Thanks, but no thanks. I didn't ask anyone to build me a house. I've never asked anyone to build me a house." And God had another idea instead. A temple could be built, but not now. Not by this particular king. God said, "Instead of you building me a house, David, I'm going to build you a house. Not like another palace, but a kingdom." Now remember, David became the king of Israel not because he was the son of the former king of Israel, but because God chose him. Because Saul had been a disappointment to God. But God was saying that he was ready to make a commitment to David and to his family, his entire house. They would ascend to the throne, each one. God said, "I will deal with whatever comes to pass with your son, but I would always love your family." And David's son, who was going to rule in much more peaceful times, you know, David was a great warrior. He had a lot of blood on his hands. And so God thought that maybe David's son, who would rule in a more peaceful time, would be a better person to build his temple. And so that's what God said he wanted done instead of David building it. But he said, "I will never remove my blessing from you, David, nor from your son." And then he went even further. He said he was going to establish David's throne forever. No matter what would become of David's descendants, God's love would follow them. And we know that to be true, because ultimately, the pinnacle of God's love came to earth to live in a family of David's household. Jesus was born to Mary, the wife of a descendant of David. Now, today's scripture passage was just the first part of David's response to this word from God. Just the very first part of David's prayer to a God who had just turned down David's offer to build a temple and instead had promised to bless David and his entire family. So what we see in this prayer is that David humbly bows before God. He acknowledges that he has done nothing to deserve this promise. He acknowledges how far God has already brought him, and that this promise, this new promise, was beyond measure to extend blessing to David's descendants to come. I encourage you sometime today, right now, later this week, to look at your Bibles, at the rest of David's prayer. Because we can learn a lot about prayer when we look at what David brings before God that day. He is humble. He praises God. He accepts the blessings that God has given him. He acknowledges that he has done nothing to earn them, and that these blessings are not just for him, and they are not just for his descendants, but they are for all of God's people. You see, in Genesis, God had made a covenant with Abraham. God tells this yet childless Abraham these words: "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." You hear that last part? In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God was promising to work restoration and renewal through Abraham and his family. And this was a promise that God renewed over and over again, in spite of the failures of all of those people. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise to Isaac. He made a promise to Jacob. He made a promise now to David. He established families for the blessing of the entire world. David heard that. David understood that. He accepted it, and he celebrated it. And he lived like it really meant something. Like it really meant something. Now, David was not always perfect. His life was not always perfect. But he knew, I said this 2 weeks ago, he knew in all things God was with him. So he lived boldly. He lived obediently, not always perfectly, but he sought to be obedient. And he lived worshipfully. There is a story shortly before this one in 2 Samuel where we see David. He is leading a procession into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. He is so happy to be bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the people into Jerusalem that he gets completely carried away. He gets completely carried away in celebrating. He dances so wildly that his wife chastises him for making such a scene. And you know, he never really reconciles with that wife. David worshiped the God who he knew, and the God who he sought, with total abandon. Now look at us today. How often do we even raise a hand in praise when we sit and worship? We're such good Methodists. Nope, hands by my side. We talked last week about the day that David arrived at the front of the war with the Philistines, and he saw this scary giant standing there on the enemy's side. And he picks up his slingshot and he decides he's going to do something about this ridiculous scene, this ridiculous affront to the living God who was on their side. Now look at us today. Do we give in the face of our adversities? This week, we're talking about a dream that David had to do a great thing for God, and how God shot him down and acknowledges that he wants to build a house for David instead of David building one for him. But God shot down that dream, and he handed that idea over to David's son. David doesn't pout. David doesn't go ahead and do it anyway. He praises God, and he acknowledges the many, many blessings that he and his people have received. Now, what about us? Do we sometimes find ourselves doing things for God's glory that, if we admitted it, were really for our own? Don't get me wrong. We need to live seeking what we can do for God, to make His glory known, to share the love and the grace that He has given us, to provide hope and joy and peace to all the world. That is what it means to be His followers. But let us never forget, in the midst of all of our holy busyness, let us never forget what God has done, is doing, and will do for us and through us. Let us never forget to live like we remember that. He does not need us to build him a home. He is building one for us. He will always love us. He will use us to establish his kingdom. And he will use us to shine his glory in this world. And here's the great thing. He will let us live in both his kingdom and his glory because he has such love for us. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, our Creator, to Jesus, our Savior, and to the Holy Spirit, our great counselor. The God who made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who made promises to David, who sealed his promise to us in Jesus, and is still making promises to each and every one of us today. For we, like David, are established in the house of God, a house built of hearts, not stones, a house built for God's glory, not our own, a house built by God's grace. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you have chosen us and established us to work for you, to work in ways that you have chosen, to work in ways where your glory can be seen in this world, not our own. May we always remember what you have done for us, that we might be humble servants to you and to those around us. And may we be ever joyful, ever bold, ever yours. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.